Jesus sends out the 12. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the word of the Lord.
Amazing. Well, it's a total joy and privilege to invite Laura, who's going to be speaking to us throughout this morning. Laura is a gifted Bible teacher, communicator, and it is such a joy to have her with us. And she's also passionate about equipping and training others as they teach the Word of God too. So she has a huge amount to bring this morning, and we're going to pray for her that God would use her words to minister to us this morning. So would you pray with me? Maybe you'd like to reach out a hand to her as we pray for God's blessing. Come, Holy Spirit. We thank you for Laura. We thank you for the gift of preaching and teaching that you have given her. And thank you, Lord, that we get to be recipients of that this morning. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would anoint her afresh right now. And would you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive all that you would have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ellie. Oh, it is really great to be with you this morning. And something special happens, doesn't it, when we take some time out, you know, like you're doing as a church family for this big weekend, take some time, not so much away, but kind of feels like that, like a little bit of a holiday together to hear from God's word, to have prayer ministry, to just hang out, build community, and it's a special time. And, you know, I was really delighted to receive the invitation to come and be with you today because I've actually known Tom G for a very long time. When Tom was a fresh-faced fresher in his first year at uni, I was there as the student pastor at St. Ordate's Church, and so I remember Tom very well arriving and then later met his wonderful wife, Sarah. And also, David, thank you for bringing this here for me, friend. You were there just a year after Tom, and so I knew you as well, and then have met the wonderful Ellie later. So all of these links. Tom had a role within the Christian Union in Oxford University of overseeing, I think I've remembered this correctly, Tom, the outreach and evangelism. And you know, that was the same job that I had a few years before. Tom did it with far more strategic kind of focus. And I love that. I was waiting to see what the response, this family here, they know you. Do you know what? I could really have done with learning from him, but the timing was the wrong way around. So I did that job the same as Tom. And you know, when you work in student ministry, you get this real joy of sort of having a front row seat to these young adults being formed by Jesus Christ and then being sent out into all sorts of jobs in all sorts of places. And I look back fondly on these cohorts that these wonderful men of God were part of. Really fantastic years. Many of them today are in jobs in leadership or serving in healthcare, education. Many are involved in church leadership. What a wonderful time that was for you guys and for me as well, serving there. And so you're blessed as a church family, Yeah, heads are nodding. You're blessed. So thank you for inviting me here today. And we've been thinking about transformation. And last night had a wonderful time. I was making my way up very late last night, so I didn't get to join in, but a wonderful time here, hearing from Sarah Yardley about being filled with the Spirit, knowing the reality of the Holy Spirit transforming us so that then, and this is our focus today, we can go and bring transformation. Last night is so key. And we start there because we need to know the transformation Jesus Christ brings and his Holy Spirit empowering us so that then, today, we go, okay, now we go, having encountered and been transformed by Jesus to bring his transformation. And so that's why, thank you so much, Palumi, for reading that passage for us. We're going to look at this moment where basically that is what happens. Jesus invites his followers to go and bring his transformation. And so we see here in Matthew 10, do have it open if you've got it in front of you on a phone or in your Bible. We see Jesus here sending out the 12 disciples. And what's happened up to this point in Matthew's gospel is that Jesus is the one who has been proclaiming the kingdom. And the kingdom has been demonstrated through signs and wonders. So in the chapters prior, and then we hit Matthew chapter 10. And it's like Jesus basically says, okay, guys, it's your turn. I've been proclaiming the kingdom, says Jesus. I've been demonstrating the power of the kingdom in signs and wonders, and now it's over to you. There's a wonderful, we're sensing, aren't we, in the UK at the moment, openness to Jesus. There really is. Bible sales have increased by 134%. Lots of churches are commenting that they're aware of particularly young people, the emerging generations, just being open to talking about Jesus, to taking a Bible, to like having a dream and then rocking up in church. And people across the generations as well. It's not just the emerging generations. I just had the joy literally just now of bumping into a wonderful woman who told me she hadn't been in church for 30 years. And she came here and did the Alpha course last year. And she's here today, journeying with Jesus. What an amazing, wonderful thing just to have been told that. And this is happening, people encountering Jesus. And you know, whatever we're going to call that or whatever our reflections, I think I do sense that it is easier to talk about faith now than perhaps it was actually back in those days when Tom was an undergrad and I was student pastor. It feels easier. I don't know if that's your experience. That perhaps some of what was the stability in society has slightly crumbled and people are hungry and they are searching and they are longing. And into that is this invitation. Hear from Jesus. Those of you who have been transformed by me who know my grace, who have received forgiveness from sin through his death on the cross, his life eternal through his resurrection from the grave, filled with his Spirit. If we are those who know that transformation, will we make the most of this moment, of this perceived openness across the generations, maybe even here in Guildford? I mean, I've just heard here in Guildford. We have this moment to respond, this invitation. And so sometimes we can hear these words of Jesus in Matthew 10, or we can hear about this opportunity or this invitation to bring transformation. And on the one hand, we can think, oh no, panic. It's all on us to bring the kingdom. And there's this awful pressure. You might even have felt like that when I was just talking then. Oh no, we're supposed to bring transformation, and how do we do that? And I've got to work harder, and it's all about striving, and it's all on me. I reckon that's kind of one half of the room. And maybe the other half of the room, you hear this invitation in Matthew chapter 10, and you think, oh, well, none of this is on me, actually. In fact, you're sat next to someone this morning who's really, really good at sharing their faith, and they can do it. They can crack on with it. Or you've had some not so great experiences where people haven't listened so well, and you maybe think, oh, none of this is really on me. Well, here is Jesus. And as we track through this passage now, we're going to see that however we find ourselves responding to this invitation to bring his transformation, What do we hear? And this is the central thing I want us to hear from this text this morning. We see here that Jesus has given us everything we need to bring his kingdom. Isn't that like a breath of fresh air for us this morning? A relief? However we feel about bringing the kingdom, however we feel about bringing this transformation, Jesus has given us everything we need for bringing his kingdom. The first thing we see then in our text is that Jesus has given us, he gives us authority. And I think there's an amazing, thank you so much. There you are, thank you. He gives us authority. It says, doesn't it, right in that opening verse, have a look at it with me. He called his 12 disciples to him and he gave them authority. He gave them authority. And it's only the 12 disciples who are mentioned here, but in the parallel moment in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 10, we see that Jesus sends out the 70 or the 72, and Bible scholars have concluded that that's a number that reflects perfection. So basically, this is an invitation for us all. This is a sending out of us all if we are followers of Jesus. And then we see in Matthew's gospel that that is fulfilled with the Great Commission, where we read in chapter 28, go into every nation, go into Surrey and build my kingdom. And so it starts here with Jesus giving them authority. It's Jesus's initiative. This is his idea. It's his right, it's his permission, it's his initiative, it's his authority. The green light to build the kingdom of Jesus, to crack on with it here, Emmanuel Church, comes from Jesus. You don't need the permission of the person sat next to you. It comes from Jesus, his authority. And I love the fact that Matthew lists the 12 disciples. I think it's intentional. I think Matthew is maybe doing it with a slight twinkle in his eye. In verse 2 of chapter 10, he says these are the names of the 12 apostles. He mentions Judas. Oh, he was the one who betrayed Jesus. And Matthew and Thomas, they're tax collectors. They're really not the people that you like. They're not your kind of poster guys for a hype strategic moment. And then the rest of them, Simon Peter. Oh, he denies Jesus. James and John. They get their mum embarrassingly to ask Jesus if they can have good seats in heaven. And the others, the list goes on. Yes, it's all slightly unimpressive. And they haven't had much time or opportunity to be anything else. Many of them are very young. I like to imagine a moment. And maybe Matthew is imagining this too as he lists through these people, that there's a moment between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Right. We're going for these guys? Yeah, definitely, these 12. Jesus gives them his authority and this purpose. And you know, us today as followers of Jesus, whatever ways we might disqualify ourselves, maybe it's your age, maybe it's your background, maybe it's your experiences or lack of experiences. Maybe it's gone really well. Maybe it really hasn't. Maybe you're not even sure what it means for you to bring transformation and the kingdom of Jesus in your workplace, your street, your community. Well, here today, Jesus invites me and he invites you and he gives you his authority. Look at the disciples. What an interesting mix of men they were. And yet, here they are. And Jesus is calling them. And Jesus is sending them out to build his kingdom. I don't know whether you guys have heard of Michael McIntyre's Big Show. Oh, brilliant. One of those moments that you just, if no one had, don't really know what I'd have done. But that worked out well. For anyone who doesn't know what Michael McIntyre's Big Show is, it seems like a lot of people watch it here. Great. That it's basically like prank after prank. So someone thinks they're going to the dentist and then a like fake wall falls down and they are on this London stage and about to sing in front of thousands and become the star of the show. And they wake celebrities up in the middle of the night and do a quiz. Yes, people are laughing. You know it. You know, one of my favorites was a couple of years back where they got this guy Paul, who was a lifelong Everton football fan. And he's this kind of humble, unassuming guy. I think some of you saw it because you're smiling. And he's at this match watching Everton, his favourite football team, play. And the whole thing, basically, is to move this guy, Paul, from just being a spectator into being a player. It's like genius. He gets signed on to the team in Everton's press room. They take him there. They need, basically, the story is that they need an extra player on the bench. Don't worry, you won't have to play, but we just need you. They sign him on. And he can't believe what's happening. And he's actually, like, there in their changing rooms. They bring out a kit for him. It's got his name on. And he's clothed. And he's, like, sat on the bench. He's 44, Paul. You know, he's not exactly in his prime. But it's all kind of sheer gift, pure gift. And if you watch it, you can see him when Frank Lampard, who's the manager at the time, he leaves the room where this guy Paul is. He's, like, taking selfies of himself, you know, with his phone, holding up his Everton shirt. Like, what on earth is happening to me? You know, everything about this moment in Matthew chapter 10 is pure gift. And that word is there. Jesus gave them authority. It's not drummed up by the disciples in their own strength. You can't build the kingdom of Jesus here, Emmanuel Church, in your own strength. But that's okay because Jesus has given you everything you need for this moment. Jesus gives them authority, verse 1. He gives them clear direction. That's in verses 5 through to 15 about what they're to do and what they're not to do, what they're to be aware of, what they're not to, where they're not to go. And he gives them a heads up. He tells them how to get ready. And do you know, it all makes sense, doesn't it, that this invitation to bring transformation wherever God has called you to, doesn't it make sense that it would be pure gift? Because isn't everything about our faith pure gift? Receiving the love of the Father who this morning has made you and knows you and loves you deeply. Receiving the gift of his love, his purpose, his calling on your life. Receiving the gift of forgiveness through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. Gift, grace, overwhelming provision and freedom, all gift. Everything about our faith is gift. Receiving the gift of eternal life. We bring nothing to the table and yet we inherit eternal life in Jesus. Receiving the gift of his very presence and spirit. We come empty-handed. We pray, come Holy Spirit, and we are filled to overflowing. And we know life and his goodness and his calling. You know, sometimes we know we're coming empty-handed. Do you this morning feel the sense of your empty hands coming to Jesus? You long to bring transformation, but you come like this. You know, for some in the room, I wonder whether actually it's not so much that we come empty-handed, but more we come with a whole load of stuff in our hands. Cares, concerns, worries, sin. The things that entangle, as Ellie read, Hebrews 12, it's not so much our hands are empty, our hands are full. It's a bit of a mess. And everything in Jesus is grace and gift. He takes the mess, he restores. He takes the emptiness and he fills and he gives us his authority and he says, go. Go and bring transformation. Does your age disqualify you? No. Does your background? No. Your experience? No. Because Jesus gives you this purpose and Jesus gives you authority. We have everything we need. We have everything we need to bring his kingdom. Acts 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we'll think a little bit more about that in the second session this morning. Jackie Hill Perry puts it like this: how many temptations exist because we believe that in all our doing, we are actually alone? God is with you. And by God, I mean the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the supreme one, the king of glory, the judge of all the earth, the immutable and transcendent God, the Lord of hosts. If that God is with us, we should be the most confident people on the planet. Isn't that wonderful? Perhaps a little too small on the screen. I'm sorry about that. But what a wonderful reminder. Look at our God. He gives us his authority. That's the first thing we see here. Jesus gives us his authority. And secondly, in our text, we see that Jesus gives us the words to say. Jesus gives us the words to say. Verse 7, have a look with me. Jesus says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, now freely you give. As you go, verse 7, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. You know, those are the exact words that Jesus uses. When he arrives and his ministry begins, he says what? The kingdom of heaven is near. And so Jesus is telling his disciples here to echo his exact words. Jesus has given us the words to say. And so when we see this openness, when we're trying to respond, when we're seeking to bring transformation in our workplaces, in our streets, our communities, it's Jesus' words that we bring. It's Jesus' teaching that we share and that we live out. It's the authority of Scripture, the Word of God that brings life. It's the truth of the gospel that we bring. You know, it doesn't say, oh, okay, Emmanuel Church, you want to build the kingdom of Jesus here. Well, here's the plan. Your task is to in fact, let's do this today. Your task is to get in some groups and come up with some new ideas, some new taglines and slogans and some whole new kind of new thoughts and think up a new kind of hope and a new kind of peace and workshop all of those ideas. Maybe we'll do that this afternoon. Make some changes, make some edits, review, go again, do this again in 2 years. No, thankfully, we don't have to do that. We don't come up in our own strength with the hope that transforms people's lives. We don't come up with the words ourselves. Jesus has given us the truth of the gospel, the hope in him, the word of power, spirit-inspired scripture, and we are those, verse 8, who have what? Freely received, and we freely give. Jesus has given us the words to say, the gospel to share. You know, I wonder whether in our time, and maybe this is for you as a church, we need to grow our confidence in the gospel. What is the gospel? Can we share it? Do we know it? We need to grow our confidence in the authority of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives as lives encounter the truth of hope in Jesus and peace in Jesus and purpose in Jesus. We have all we need to bring the kingdom, the authority of Jesus, the words of Jesus. And so I wonder then, and this is a challenge to me as well, do we know the word of Jesus? Are we familiar with the teaching of Jesus? Are we living it out? Is it shaping our day? Is it something we speak when we have opportunity? You know, maybe your friend, someone who doesn't yet know the Lord, lacks peace in their life. Could you say, well, you know, it's Jesus who brings me peace, and Jesus is actually referred to as the Prince of Peace, and in 1 Peter 5:7, we're invited to cast all our cares upon God because he cares for us. Do we know these truths for ourselves? Are they changing us, and can we share them? Or maybe you're in your shift at the hospital, or you're in college and you're studying. Can you respond to situations in prayer? Can you interact with people around you because you have an opportunity to bring the better word of Jesus into a situation? What is his better word into your context? His word of life, his word of truth. Perhaps you run a business. in your decisions, as you manage your team, as you plan strategically, Jesus has given you the words to say. Back to Paul, the Everton football fan, and Michael McIntyre's big show. We think that the big moment for Paul, the Everton fan, has happened in the changing room, all the selfies, all the fun, great moment. And he heads back to the part of the changing room. He's gone out, he's like warmed up on the sideline. And then suddenly, he's called back onto the pitch. The manager has told him that he needs to take the final penalty for Everton. And he's like, what? And so he runs onto the sideline of the pitch, and Frank Lampard, the manager, puts his arm around this guy and says, don't worry, mate, just like knock it into the bottom corner. Do you know what? Here's that moment. We're going to watch it now.
What we need him to do now, Snods, is put the ball in the net.
Score the penalty.
Right in front of the Gladys Street end. And Paul Stratton, a very, very brave Evertonian, comes on. He gets clapped by the Gladys Street, he gets clapped by all four sides. Paul Stratton is 44 years of age, and he's coming on for Everton to take a penalty.
You can see him watching it back.
Everybody's looking in amazement, stood there thinking, what is actually happening?
Do you know what? I bet he's nervous, you know.
After an incredible debut, Paul headed down the tunnel.
What a moment. It's actually quite moving, isn't it? It's kind of funny and moving and everything. You know, look at the celebrations when he scores that goal, and the teammates gathering around him, and then the manager of the team embracing him and saying, well done. You know, I've played lots of football with our kids. We've got three kids, and our son, he's in the middle of our two daughters. He's especially into his football. I've actually only ever scored one goal in an adult football match, and that was last year when we were in Oxford. But hey, still, one goal. Could it be worse. But look at him there, you know, doing his celebration, scoring his goal. It's just all pure gift. He's been given all that he needs, given authority, given instruction, given a shirt to wear. He's no longer a spectator, but he's part of the team. This morning, you're part of the team. In what ways, perhaps, are you still sat on the bench and still a spectator? And you long to play your part, and your worry is that you can't, or that you have and it's not gone so well, or you don't know what it looks like in your workplace or on your street or in your area of town. Jesus is inviting you this morning because he has done everything to join the team, to play your part, to move off the bench, to score the goals that he has set up for you. In building his kingdom, he has given you his authority. He has given you the words to say. And you know, there's a beautiful moment in verses 19 and 20 of this chapter, where what's being talked about here in this specific context is that these disciples are going to experience persecution. And then Jesus says this to them in verse 19. When they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Isn't that beautiful? You know, it's the only time in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is described in that particular way. The Spirit of your Father who is with you. Did you hear there the intimacy? Here is the Father, your Father who knows you, who knows what job you do, who knows your personality, your kind of quirks, the things that make you you. Here is your Father who loves you deeply and knows you, who's given you purpose, who knows your story, your Father, and it's his Spirit at work in you and through you that will lead you and give you the words to say. What a comfort that is for us this morning. Don't worry. The Spirit of your Father will give you the words to say. Jesus has given us authority, given us his word. And finally, Jesus gives you to a place. You're a gift to a place, to a context, to an office, to a street, to a neighborhood, a community, to a sports group or a hobby group. You are given as a gift from Jesus to a place. Jesus here is sending out the 12 intentionally, and we see in the language where he says in verse 5, go here, and when you go here, do this, and there's a whole kind of list of balances, and we don't quite have time to go into all of them this morning, but Tim Keller, when he's talking about this passage, he says, do you see here that Jesus sends the disciples? They're not thrown randomly. They're sent. You know, we're not like flung out onto the pitch. We're sent. There's an intentionality here. And we've got to see all of these balances, as I mentioned, between sort of our words and our deeds. Proclaim and then heal the sick. The proclamation of the gospel and then the outworking of the advancement of the kingdom through healing and signs and wonders. And then Jesus says in these verses, you know, don't be excessive. Don't take extra things with you, like an extra tunic or whatever it might be, because this isn't about acquiring stuff. This is about serving. This is about having that attitude of us pouring out our lives. And then he says, doesn't he be in verse 16, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. So have a compassion and also a clarity in the places that Jesus has sent us to. There's intentional instruction, intentional direction. We are given as a gift to a place. Tim Keller again, he said this, there are some needs that only you can meet, some hands that only you can hold, some demons that only you can cast out. What an invitation for us that is. And so I wonder then this morning, does that fill you afresh with confidence? Not because it's in any way our own strength, but why? Because we see here that Jesus has given us everything we need. Do you long to see his life and goodness and his transformation come here? Yes. Do you long in your workplace to bring the light and truth of the gospel of Jesus in word and deed? Do you long on your streets for those that you chat to over the garden fence, for those you bump into in supermarkets, for those at the school gate, for those you have meetings with, for those you have phone calls with, those in the post office? Do you long, filled with the Spirit, to bring the transformation of the kingdom? Yes. Well, you have been given, my friends, everything you need. Jesus' authority, Jesus' word, and he gives you to a place. Where has he placed you? Where has he placed you? Don't disqualify yourself. Get on to the pitch. Play your part as you know the Father, your Father, delighting in you today. Would you stand with me as we continue to respond to the Holy Spirit who speaks through the Word of God and ministers to us? We're going to do together now, in the time that we have, this space, what we've been doing as a church for many, many years, and that's just to pray, come Holy Spirit. He is here. He is with us already. And in this moment, we just want to be more attentive. And so I wonder whether you would like to put out your hands as a sign that you want to receive afresh from God this morning. There's nothing particularly special about that, but it's just this posture of humility and receiving from God today.